Still here at the top of Tadi Amud Aleph, at the top by the Mishnah, that Kol HaMidot Shemigdash. Now it's giving a general principle about the Midot Migdash. Hayu Nigdashot. Nigdashot means that they reached their load or their measure by being heaped on. That it wasn't that internally to the Kli that the measure was contained within it, but rather it had to be with the Gadush on top of it, it reached the amount that was supposed to be there. Chutz, the exception that rule is Mishel Kohen Gadol, by the Chavite Kohen Gadol, the measurement for that, Shaya Gochado Tocha. There the Kli internally contained the entire measurement. You did not require a Gadush for it. Midat Alach, when it comes to liquid measurements, Beirutzehem Kodesh. There, Beirut Beirutzim are Kodesh. Now Beirutzim, again Rashi on the Mishnah says Beirutzim. It's Mashino fel min akli. What comes out of the Kli after it's already full, that's Hainu Beirutzim, that which spills over the Kli. Again, the other possibility, what the Beirutzim are, is surface tension, or that which sits on top of the Kli. So there, that extra liquid measurement is Kodesh. Umidat Ayavesh, when it comes to dry measurements, Beirutzim Chol, their extra is considered Chol. Again, Rashi says that which falls over to the side, the extra that is beyond the rim of the Kli, that is classified as Chol. Now Rabbi Akiva explains why.
Is that the same as the heap?
No, see, the heap is part of that measurement, so it has to be in excess of the heap, it seems like. So not all measurements were heaped. So in the measurements that weren't heaped, maybe this was the extra that was there. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Mida la Kodesh, Fikach Beirutzim Kodesh. Rabbi Akiva says the reason that the Beirutzim of the liquid measurements are Kodesh is because the liquid measure is Kodesh. Midat HaYavesh, when it comes to the dry measurements, Chol, they are considered to be Chol, the Fikach, therefore, Beirutzim Chol. The extra is also Chol. Kli is Chol, so is the extra Chol. Gemara will explain all of this. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Lo Mishum Ze. Rabbi Akiva, that's not the reasoning. Ella, Shalach Neakar, Beyavesh Enu Neakar. It's an interesting idea here. When you have dry goods that are piled on top of each other, as the dry goods increase in quantity, they stack on top of the dry goods that are below them. When a liquid is poured, at least according to Rabbi Yossi, the new liquid displaces the existing liquid in the utensil. That means that as you pour it in, whatever is there rises to the top, and the new liquid sinks to the bottom. And that will drive the internal liquid out. So that's what Rabbi Yossi says. Rabbi Yossi says the Kedusha has to do with this fact. Midat Yavesh never reached the internal part of the Kli. Therefore, anything that's on the outside, the Beirutzim, are not classified as being Kadosh. On the other hand, the Midat Alach, that which exited the Kli, was already inside the Kli. And therefore, it would be Kadosh. Because of that, that's the difference between the Midat Yavesh and Midat Alach, not like what Rabbi Akiva differentiated.
Again, I'm still not sure, in the first part of the Mishnah, where it says the heap, isn't talking about this heap?
The way Rashi defines Beirutzim, no, because Rashi defines Beirutzim as that which falls off to the side, not that which is on top. But if you think that the Beirutzim means that which is extra on top, then it would also have to mean the amount that is in excess of the measured amount that needs to be there, in excess of the heap that needs to be there, or in excess of the liquid measure.
Now, actually, if you're saying that the measure includes the heap,
right,
how much is the heap?
They obviously knew when they measured, they knew how much, I think it was like a third over, they knew how much of a heap was included in the measure. And I don't know how to differentiate between what was the shod and what is Beirut Sim. It's very hard to see where that threshold is. So now the Gemara says, Mani, who's the author of our Mishnah? So the Gemara goes back to the beginning of the Perek, and it says, E Rabbi Meir. According to Rabbi Meir, then there were two Kelim in the Mikdash. In the Mikdash, according to Rabbi Meir, the Midat Yavesh had two Isaron in the first Mishnah. One Isaron that was Gadush, and one Isaron that was Machuk. One Isaron that was only an Isaron through the heaping, and then there was another Isaron that was an Isaron without the heaping on it. So therefore, you can't say, if it's Rabbi Meir, then only Chad Gadush Avo. Only one of the two Isaronim was Gadush, Irabanan. According to Rabbanan, Chada, first of all, there was only one Kli in the Mikdash, Umachuk Avo. And that Kli contained the entire measurement inside of it. It was not Gadush, it was not piled on top. So obviously they can't be the authors of the Mishnah. Yeah, but it makes a statement of Kol. Kol implies that there's more than one. You can't say Kol means one. The way you're reading it, that's one Yisaron is, and then the Kudmi Gagal is one is not. You can't say that Kol, that one Mida. So I'm Rabbi Chista, the Olam, Rabbi Meir. Really, it's my Rabbi Meir, or my Kol Midot. This is what we did similarly before, that doesn't mean kol midot, all measuring cups, but rather kol mididot, all measurements that are made big dusha. So it's not, that's according to Rabbi Meir, that's true. The measuring cups, you had one Yisroel that's machuk, one Yisroel that's gadush. But all measures that you made, all measurements that you made within the Mikdash, they were done big gadush. And so if you reread the Mishnah to say kol mididot rather than kol midot, then Rabbi Meir can fit into our Mishnah, because that'll solve the problem of the plurality, which Tzvi, you were trying to suggest this type of answer. But there it says kol midot, which seems to indicate there's more than one measuring cup or measuring utensil. Over here, if you change it to mididot, it could be one measuring cup, but every type of measure that's done with that cup is done big gadush. Right now, midat alach rizim kodesh, b'maika miflegei. What is the machloket over here? So Tanakama savar, Tanakama believes, midat alach nimshecha ben bifnim, ben bimechutz. That the midat alach are anointed, kadosh, both on the inside and the outside. Midat ayavesh nimshecha bifnim, velo nimshecha bechutz. They were anointed inside, but not on the outside. Now, the word outside over here can have different definitions. Either it can really mean the outside of the kli, and that's when, according to Rashi, when it overflows, it rolls off the side, then it's kadosh. Rashi, in the Ktav Yad, says the sfata kli, that not only is the kli itself kadosh, but the rim of the kli is also kadosh, which would indicate more along the lines of the surface tension of that which is on top, the excess that's on top. So that's the two possibilities of what it means. But then the Tanakhama statement in the Mishnah, which is, midalach beirutzeim kadosh, midat yavesh beirutzeim chol. That was the statement of the Tanakhama. What's the reasoning behind the statement of the Tanakhama? So for exactly this reason. The difference between whether the external part was kadosh or not. By midat alach, the external or the rim was kadosh. Therefore, it includes the beirutzim. Midat hayavesh, only the internal part was kadosh. And therefore, what's beyond the rim or what's on the outside is not kadosh. Rabbi Akiva savar, midat alach, nimshecha ben bifnim ben b'machutz. Same as the Tana Kama, that midat alach in and out. Midat yavesh lo nimshecha kol ikar. Right, Rabbi Akiva, the midat yavesh is not kadosh whatsoever. So then, what's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva? He says, well, since the midat yavesh is chol, all excess is not considered to be kodesh. Well, if it's chol, then has he mikadesh the stuff that's inside as well? So that all the Rishonim here say that he's mikadesh bepeh. Then he does it orally. He says that which is inside will be kadosh. But when he does that, he will say it for the quantity needed, or the exact quantity needed. He won't be mekadesh in excess of his needs. And therefore, since the kli is chol, and he has to orally dictate what it is that is being kadosh over here, he will specify the quantity he needs, and not in excess of that. And therefore, only what's inside is kadosh, what's on the outside is not kadosh. It's a kli sharet, that's not kodesh, so I don't know if that really is called a kli sharet anymore. In Rabbi Akiva, there was no midat yavesh that was kodesh in the mikdash.
According to the Tanakhama, how would the sfata kli help being the kadesh that
they received? But yavesh should be the excess over the whatever excess, whether it's the excess above the gidisha, or it's the excess, if you believe it's a machuk, above that. It's held in by the rim, and since it's held in by the rim, that would be mekadesh, that excess.
How is it? If it were held in by the rim, it wouldn't be beirutzim.
It depends what you think beirutzim are. According to Rashi, he thinks beirutzim is that it falls onto the outside. He believes it means the outside, literally the outside of the kli that's kadosh. If you think beirutzim means the excess on top, then like the Rashi and the Tavya, believes that it's the what's contained by the rim. Rabbi Yossi Savar, Rabbi Yossi believes, idi v'idi nimshecha b'mifnim, v'lo nimshecha b'chutz. Yossi says, both kelim work the same way. The internal is kadosh, the external is not kadosh. Again, whether it means the outside walls or the rim, they are not kadosh. V'hocha ayin utayma, delach ne'akar u'migava d'manoka ati. So the excess by the liquids, either whether it's the part that is the surface tension above, or whether it's the liquid that overflows on the side, that liquid was already inside the kli. It was inside the kli and then got displaced by the new liquid. And by being displaced, it was already kodesh from the internal part of the kli. On the other hand, dry goods stack on top of each other. It wasn't displacing the dry goods that were inside. And if it was falling off, it never became kadosh. It never reached the internal part of the kli. Chinekar mayavi. So what if it's displaced from inside the liquids? When you're talking about the liquid measurements being displaced, why should that happen? It help you out. When a person puts the liquids in, he only intends for the quantity that he needs. He's not doing an excess of that. So what that the kli is nekar, that it went in and then came out? He only intends to be mekadesh that which he needs. One possibility is kavana. That's what the Gemara is assuming now. The other one is Amar Rav Dimi Yibar Shishtim Yishmeder Rav Zoto Meret Kli Sharet Mekadshin Shalom Midat. The Kli Sharet over here work Shalom Midat. They work even without Kavana, they are able to be Mekadish liquid. Again, I'll point out here, we pointed out last time we had this, this is a different usage of the word Shalom Midat. Generally, when we use the word Shalom Midat, it means when I have no specific intent, the Kli Sharet can work to replace my intent. Over here, that's not what's happening. Over here, I have specific intent for a quantity, and the Kli Sharet's able to override my intent. That means against my will over here. It has its mind of, very good. It's a mind of its own. This we discussed back when we mentioned this last time, might be the difference where if you believe that mitzvot ain't srichot kavana, then in general when you're a mekayim mitzvah, even without kavana, does negative kavana help you? When you have negative kavana to be mekayim the mitzvah, even though a mitzvah is nitkayim by itself automatically because you don't need kavana, does negative kavana help? This concept is very similar. When you say, I will not be yotze the mitzvah. I'm doing this action. I'm picking up the lulav, but I do not want to be yotze the mitzvah of lulav at this point. So now, does that work or not? So it's a very similar to this, mekadshin shelo midat. It doesn't mean that when I say mitzvah entri kahad kavana, it overrides anything you have in mind, that it works irrespective of your intent. Or shelo midat means that when I have neutral kavana, it steps in and makes you have kavana or takes care of the kavana aspect. But if I have negative kavana, it won't. This same thing here by mekadshin shelo midat. Does mekadshin shelo midat only work when I have no overriding intention? Or does it even override my intention? Over here it's being used almost in a context of being overrided. My intention. Ravina Omar, the Olam Eimelecha. So Ravina doesn't like this as Shlomi Dat. It might be that he's either arguing on the concept of Shlomi Dat, or he might be arguing on the application of it here, where it overrides your Kavana. He might say, yeah, you know what, Kli Sharet works Shlomi Dat, but not to override your intent for it to be just an exact amount. So then what's happening over here? Gezeira Shemi Yomru Motsimi Kli Sharet Echol. Our fear is that people will see this and say, look, this was in a Kli Sharet. Now it's outside the Kli Sharet. And so what are you doing? You're taking it and saying, it's Chol. So people will come to think that after something's been in a Kli Sharet, it automatically becomes whole if you don't need it. That's not true. Generally, if it's inside the Kli Sharet, then you have to redeem it in order for it to be good. That won't be the case over here. So now, what we want, we're seeing people are watching, they know by liquid measurements that it's nekar, and they'll say, it was in a Kli Sharet, and then look what they're doing, he's taking it home with him. How could that be? Versus the Yavesh, where they can see that it never went inside the Kli, so they won't have that Havamina. So the Gzeru was about the Midat Talach. So Moti, Rabbi Zeru, is it really true that we make such Gzerot for worried? We're worried about what the people are going to see. See there at lechem, at the bazichim. He placed the lechem upanim on the shulchan, as well as the bazichim la'achar Shabbat. He put it on Sunday. V'yiktir et ha-bazichim b'Shabbat. If he puts the bazichim on the following Shabbat, if he's makriv them, psula. It doesn't work. Bazichim aren't at the right time, and the lechem is pasul. Ketzad yaseh. In such an instance where he puts it on Sunday, what should he do? Yenichenu l'Shabbat haba. He has to leave it on the table for an additional week, because you need a minimum of 8 days, but they have to include 2 Shabbatot. Shafilo ha-shulchan yamim rabim ein b'kachlum. We don't worry about the fact that they are left on the shulchan. The implications from here are that the lechem does not become kadosh until it hits a Shabbos. A Shabbos is what starts the function of the shulchan to make it into lechem upanim on the shulchan, and therefore it won't start to have a problem of lina until after the second Shabbat. So since over here you never hit the first Shabbat, when it hits the following week on Shabbat, that's only the first Shabbat that's there, and there's no problem of lina. The kedusha only starts at that point. The trigger for kedusha as a kli sharet only starts in that following Shabbos. So therefore it won't be lina. But what are people doing? They're looking at this, and they're looking, and they're saying, wow, look at this. It looks like as long as you leave it in a Kli Sharet, that it never has lina associated with it. It's always fine as long as it's in a Kli Sharet. Kli Sharet protects the item from becoming or having a psul of lina. That's what it looks like from the outside looking at it. Where it says, wait a minute, you're mixing up because these are in 2 different locations. You're asking a question about the Shulchan. The Shulchan is found inside the Heichal, and you're asking on something where the midot that are measured, that's done out in the Ezara. People don't have access to the Shulchan. They can't see what's going on in the Shulchan. The only people who know what's going on in the Shulchan are the Kohanim. Kohanim Zvizim Heim. And they know why the Lechem's staying on the Shulchan is because it wasn't put on time. On the other hand, the outside in the Ezara, it's free access. Everybody can see what's going on there. So the measures that are done out in the Ezara, there we have a Gezeira because we're afraid of what people's conclusions will be. So the Gemara says, Pnim, Lav Kuli Yama Yodei. When it comes to the Eichal or the Shulchan, not everybody has access, not everybody knows what's going on there. Chutz, Kuli Yama Yodei. Chutz is out in the public eye. When you're out in the public eye, then you need the Gezeira. You don't need it when you're inside the Eichal. We have a Mishnah in Shkalim. Motar ha-Nisachim, the Ketz ha-Mizbeach. The excess of the Nisachim goes to Ketz ha-Mizbeach. My Motar ha-Nisachim. What is the excess of Nisachim? So, Rechim Yosef Amar, Beirutze Midot. That excess that is on top of the Midah, that exceeds the amount of the Midah. The Beirutzim here, either the surface tension, the excess over the heap, that which fell over the side, that which is not necessary to reach the measured amount that you need, that extra piece will be the excess Nisachim. If you gather those together, that excess can be taken and used for Ketz Mizbeach. Ketz Mizbeach is used when the Mizbeach is batel, when there's nothing going on in the Mizbeach. They purchase extra korbanot from monies. There are many things that are dedicated towards this purpose. Korbanot, excesses, they get placed to this, and then the Beit Din buys with that. Korbanot, olot, to put on the Mizbeach. The word Ketz Mizbeach, it's interesting here, Rashi in the Ketav Yad says, the word Ketz really comes from the word Kayitz. Kayitz is from the word Muktza. Kayitz is a place where you leave something for a long period of time, you dedicate it, and you leave it. What is usually put there? Zvela. And they dry up there. They dry out figs. They dry out dates out there in the Kayitz, because you're Mekatzim. You leave them for a long period of time in the sun. Those are sweet items that are placed on top. So he says the Kayitz is the dessert of the Mizbeach. Just like the Dvela is the dessert of the man's meal. And here also the word Kayitz is being used in the same way. It's used as the dessert of the Mizbeach. Could also have read it as Kayitz Mizbeach means in the summertime, when you have longer days, there's not enough carbonyl to be put on, so therefore that's when it's used. Right, those are the two possibilities of what it means. Generally, I think most people look at it as Kayitz Mizbeach meaning the dessert of the Mizbeach.
Is this pouring, where the overflow, to pour something in, overflows,
I don't know, but here you talk, like you said before, you're talking about shaman, which is viscous, and it doesn't go down onto the floor so fast. It flows over onto the side. You could scrape it off the side. You can get an extra piece there. That's Rashi's interpretation. The one that says it's surface tension, it's easier to understand. I agree with you. Rashi's interpretation that it falls over the side, to me, is much harder, because then, like you were saying, I mentioned this when we mentioned last time, that it's hard to understand how they collected it, or if it falls on the side, it's gone already. What are you collecting? Thing, right?
Yeah.
But you're right, if the shemen is viscous, utensil. Yeah, if it was inside another clay, if you had a, like a plate that was sitting on something that helped, I don't know. That, it's very hard to me to imagine how they were getting this excess here. Rashi, in other Masechtot, explains that the excess here comes from the fact of how Hektesh trades. When they buy from outside suppliers, they buy be-gedusha. They buy midot that have the heap on top of them. When they sold it to the people internally, they sold them to Mechuka. So the excess was the difference between the Gedusha and Mechuka, which would make a lot of sense, because Hektesh had the Yado al Yona, which we'll see in a second, and because of that, they were able to transact in a manner that they always ended up with an excess. But the way our Gemara reads, and the way the Mishnah reads at the beginning of the parak, as well as our Mishnah here, that interpretation of Rashi does not really fit in to how the Gemara's understanding of Gedusha. Here, the Gemara is assuming Gedusha is part of the measurement, and that the Beutzim is the excess beyond that, and not that this was some sort of transaction that allowed for that excess to come about. I'm assuming they don't ask it because it was common practice in their day. They knew exactly what was going on here. They measured in that way, with in terms of heaping and in terms of this pouring with the surface tension. To them, it was like a given. It wasn't something that bothered them at all. To us, when we don't understand, we don't measure in this way. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Keoto Shishaninu. He says, no, it's like what we learned in the right, the Makabal of the Sapik, Seltot Mi'arba, person who accepts to be a supplier to Hektesh, at that point in time, they are Arba Sa'im L'Sela. Hektesh provides him a Sela, he's got to provide for Sa'im. Ve'amdu B'Shalosh, the price went up. Hektesh bought it, and the price went up. So Hektesh now bought it. When they purchased it, they gave him money. and they were supposed to get supplied 4 sa'ah to a seller. Now the price is that you only get 3 sa'ah to a seller. Yisafeg mi'arba. He's stuck at the original price because ma'ut are connotes by hektesh. The fact that hektesh gave the money, that locks the price. Hektesh has basically a call option here. Right, they can't lose, so they have a call option here. If the price gone up, they can exercise their right to take it at the current price. Then, the other way around, Mishalosh, if they came to a conclusion, they agreed that he would supply 3 sa'ah per seller, Vamdum Arba, and the price dropped. And now, you can get 4 sa'ah for a seller. Then, Misapek Barba. Is Hekdesh here as a put? And they can say, no, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to supply us at the lower price. Shiad Hekdesh, Alel Yonah. Yad Hekdesh is always in the better situation. Now over here, when it's Misabek Marba, is because Hekdesh is no worse than a hedgeot. In a layman's transaction, if money was given, that doesn't lock the transaction because there was no kinyan over here. So Hekdesh gets the benefit on both sides. If the price rises, then they have ma'ot konot. The money was koneh. If the price drops, then we say, they're no worse than a layperson. Ma'ot aren't konot. There's no kinyan over here. They can go with the better price. So they get the better end on both sides of the kinyan. Tanya Kavate de Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef, Tanya Kavate Rabbi Yochanan, explaining that this is the motor. This is the motor that we're talking about. Tani kavetzid Rabbi Chabi Yosef biritze midot alalu mayosim behen. This excess of the midot, what do they do with them? Im yesh zevach acher, if there's another korban ready, yakribu imo. They'll use it for the nesachim of that behema. V'im lanu, here it's lanu in the Tosefta, it says v'im lav, yipasul b'lina, then they will be pasul b'lina. I mean, it sounds like that you intentionally make them pasul b'lina. V'im lav, mekitzim behem et mizbeach. So it sounds like im lanu, if you leave them over and don't use them, then they'll be pasul b'lina. If you want to use them and there is no zevach here, put them towards Ketzah Mizbeach, and that will prevent them from becoming Pasul B'lina. So here you see that the excess, the Beirut Yemidot, was used towards Ketzah Mizbeach.
What are the mechanics of making it Ketzah Mizbeach to suspend the
Well, they themselves are not put on the Mizbeach. They are going to be sold, redeemed. That money will be used for the Ketzah Mahu. This case, what are you going to use with it? Those monies that you use by the redemption will be used to purchase olot, abasar l'Hashem. It's kalil l'Hashem, and the olot go to the Kohanim. You would have had a mean over here that the olot shouldn't belong to the Kohanim because the intent of the purchaser here is to be vacated from Mizbeach. So maybe the entirety of the end, including the olot, should go on the Mizbeach because it came from something kodesh. The answer in the end is no, it's like a regular olah where the Kohanim get the olot. Tani kavete de Rabbi Yochanan, and we kabel alav sapek sletot. Tani kavete de Rabbi Yochanan. Mekabel alav the sapek slutot me'arba v'amdu mishalosh. In the case where he said he was going to provide them at 4-1 sela, 4 sa'im to a sela, and the price went up to 3-2 sela, the sapek barba, he's going to provide the better price. Mishalosh, in the case where the hektesh contracted at 3 sa'ah to the sela, v'amdu, and the price went down and they went to 4 sa'ah to the sela, the sapek barba. That is, yad hektesh alina, that's the excess there. Because hektesh bought, assuming they were getting 3 sa'ah to the sela, they bought enough at 3 sa'ah to the sela. Now, when he's bringing them at 4 to the seller, they have excess amounts here because they expected to get at 3 to the seller to get the right amount. Now they're getting 4 for that same seller. It means that they're getting more than they need. That excess, when the price drops, that excess goes to the Ketzah Mizbeach, and that'll be like Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of what the Motar Nesachim was that went to Ketzah Mizbeach. Okay, Mishnah now is going to explain to us which karbanot are Chayavim in Nesachim. This is your question. Kol karbanot atzibor v'yachid dunim Nesachim. Any korban, yachid, tzibur, requires nesek, chutz. Here are the exceptions. Mina b'chor, amasar, and pesach. Those three korbanot, which are the kochim kalim, all the way at the end, the vezuhu mekoman, for the masar, and the pesach, they do not require nesachim, v'chatat v'asham. Tat and asham do not require, with one exception to that rule, ela, she'chatato she'metzorah v'ashamot, to'un nesachim. That we saw yesterday in Rabbi Yochanan's statement. And we said, Rabbi Yochanan said that when you do an asham mitzorah, shelo v'shmo, you must bring the nesachim along with it, because otherwise, it won't be an asham mitzorah. Well, that's because Hashem Mitzvah is the only Hashem that requires Nisachim. All other Shemot don't require Nisachim. So there's an exception to the exception, which is that all Karbanot get Nisachim, except for these five Karbanot, which are the Pesach, Maser, Bechor, Chatat, and Hashem. And to that exception, there's one exception, which is the Hashem and Chatat of the Mitzvah that do get Nisachim. Now the Gemara is going to learn this out from the Psukim. The Pasuk is found in Parshat Shlach, that's the Pasuk that tells us about Nisachim. In Perak Tevav, Pasuk Gimel says, Vasita Mishel Hashem, Ola, Ozevach, Lifalei Nen Pantera, O Bindava, O Bimoadechem, but so Reachnechoach Lashem in a Bakar Minatzon. Gemara is going to dash in this pasuk, and then afterwards it tells you, based on the Behemah that you're bringing, what Nesachim you bring. So that pasuk that I just read to you, which is the introductory pasuk, the Gemara is now going to dash in. It says, Ve'asitem Ishei Lashem. Ishei Lashem sounds like Yechol Kol Olal Yishim. Anything that ends up on this Bech will require Nesachim, Eitahu Nesachim. Afilo Amincha. Amincha goes on, so maybe even Amincha requires Nesachim. Talmud Omar, the next line in the pasuk is, Ola. Ola tells you that only something that is a korban requires nisachim, but not a mincha. Shlamim min island. How do I know that shlamim are also included? Well, that's the next words in the pasuk. Talmud Omar, which are zevach. So it says, I did Mishael Hashem Ola, O zevach. Ola is an Ola, zevach is a shlamim. Because we use the term, is used in the Torah, zevach shlamim. That's where it's used. In that context, that's where it's used. Therefore, that refers to a shlamim. Toda min island. How do I know that it also includes a toda? Because it says, Mishael Hashem Ola, O zevach. O is a ribuy over here. So, oh, a zevach comes to include also a todah. Now I have an ola shlamim and a todah that are included for nisachim. So now I would think, yochol shnei merabe ach b'chor maser u'pesach. I would include the b'chor maser and pesach. They sound very similar. They're kodshim kalim, very similar to the shlamim and the todah. Maybe they should be included over here as well. Create a binyanav now. You can bring a mimetzino binyanav. We find that all carbonotes get it. That Gemara is going to come and say, no, that's not going to work. You're not going to build that way. So, ayochol, sheni v'raf b'chor maser pesach hatat v'asham, Talmud Omar, lifalei neder o b'nidava, which is the next line in the pasuk, which is lifalei neder and nidava, which comes to teach us that only ba b'neder midava to'on nisachim, something that is brought as a neder nidava requires nisachim, sheinu ba b'neder midava, eino to'on nisachim. So, b'chor maser pesach Chatat and Hashem are all chovot. They are not brought as voluntary offerings, therefore they do not get nisachim. On the other hand, the Olah and the Shlamim and the Todah are brought as voluntary offerings, and therefore they are requiring nisachim. So that the Gemara says, Mashma lahutziyat elu. That comes to teach us that we're excluding those. So now, I would think, based on what I just did, utziyat chovot about machmad regel. I'd also exclude things that are chovot that come for the regel. What is that? Machmad regel ba regel, mind you, olot riyah shalmei chagiga. Those are olot and shlamim, but they're olot and shlamim that are chovot, not nidava. So maybe they should also not require nisachim. Tamal Omar, the next line in the pasuk is, obimoadechem. That means, kol abba bimoadechem ta'un nisachim. Anything that's brought in the regel requires nisachim. So mashma labiyat elu, from that I learned to include these. But avias siirei chatat, so also bring the siirei chatat. In the musafim of the regel, there's a siirei chatat that is brought as part of the musafim. If you're telling me anything on the regel gets nisachim, that chatat should also get nisachim. Ho vayim b'chova b'regel, tamar domar, pasuk says, b'chitaseh ben bakar. B'chitaseh ben bakar, which is later, it's in pasuk chet, when it talks about b'chitaseh ben bakar, then nisachim that says, b'chitaseh ben bakar, ola ozava lefalei neder oshlamim lashem. There, ben bakar bichlal haya. The ben bakar was already included. Velama yotza. And now, why did it leave the normal process here? I read you the introductory pasuk. After that, the psukim say when the hikriva makrivit karbono, if he brings a keves, this is the din. Ola ayol, this is the din. When it came to the ben bakar, it could have just said hikriva ben bakar. Instead, it starts out again and says v'chita se ben bakar ola uzevach lufay neder shlamin lashem. Gives a new introductory pasuk here that was unnecessary. So that's why over here the gemara is asking that extra introduction by ben bakar. What is it teaching me? It could have just started the pasuk, v'yikriva ben bakar, because we have the large introduction that we just read in the pasuk. Why do I need a secondary introduction? That secondary introduction is unnecessary. That's why Rashi and Tosafot learn over here. Rashi in the Ktav Yad brings down an alternative explanation, which is that it should already be included in the Ola Ozavach or the Ishei Lashem that we mentioned above. It should be included in that. Why do I need again to teach me v'yikraft? Of course, that we know that those go on the Mizbeach. Now, lama yatza la kishelef, ma ben bakar miyuchad. What's unique about this ben bakar? So that it comes or it has a manifestation in a neder and dava. So to over here, it has to have a manifestation in a neder and dava. So we amended slightly our definition over here. Before, we distinguished between karbonot that are chovot and karbonot that are nidavot. Then we included other karbonot that were chovot, including shalmei chagiga, olat riyah. And then we tried to maybe include the chatat of the regal, the siyarim of the regal, siyar chatat that's in the musaf. Rashi says, no, you don't understand. It's something that within its category it has a nidava. We're not asking that it itself be a nidava. It's saying something within its category that has a nidava. Although have a nidava in their category. Shlamim have a nidava. Todah has a nidava in its category. Since within its category it has a nidava, even though the one that you're bringing is not the nidava, it will require nisachim. Chatat never in its category has something that is brought as a voluntary offering. There is no dava by chatat. Therefore, the chatat that's brought in the regel, even though it should have been included, is excluded because it doesn't have this manifestation. Very good. So Rashi points out that when it comes to like the Olat Tamid and the Olot of the Musafim can't escape, because what does it say by them? Olat Tamid bin Iska. Scream openly say that there's a Nesach by the Olat Tamid and by the Musafim. It's explicit in the Psukim. You would have been excluded from the Limud of the Psukim of the Nisachim in Ochanami. The Olat Tamid and the Olot of the Musafim would be excluded. But they are included because the Pasuk explicitly says that they require Nisachim. We can't get around that. So they don't go through the normal methodology of Limud because they have it specified by them that Nisachim are brought by them. Alright, so now the Gemara continues. The end of the puzzle, which is so reach mechok la shemin and bakar min atzon matamalomar shenamar. It says olah shomei ani afilu olah ta'of. I would think to include even birds when I say olah. B'mashma tamalomar min bakar min atzon. Divrei Rabbi Yoshi. Rabbi Yoshi says that the end of the puzzle comes to teach me min bakar min atzon is only by behemot. Sachim only applied to behemot, not to uvot. Rabbi Yonatan Omer inu tzarich. You don't need that. Rabbi Omer zevach. Both inu zevach. The word zevach tells you a zevach is only a behema, and of is not a zevach. According to Rabbi Yonatan, who says he doesn't need it to exclude Oph, what does he do with Min HaBakar Min HaTzon? Because it says in the Pasuk, in the beginning of Vayikra, Adam Ki Yakriv Mikem Korban Hashem Min HaBehema, Min HaBakar U Min HaTzon. If a person brings a korban from an animal, Min HaBakar U Min HaTzon, Yachol Omer Harei Ayolai Ola, person comes and says, I'm going to bring an Ola, Yavi Mishneem. That's what the Pasuk sounds like. Adam Ki Yakriv Mikem Korban Hashem, if you committed to bring a korban to Hashem Min HaBehema, Min HaBakar Min HaTzon, you got to bring both from the Bakar and from the Tzon. So Tamal Omer here says, Min HaBakar O Min HaTzon. Ratzah Echad Mevi, Ratzah Shnai Mevi. It's your choice. You can bring or the Bakar or the Tzon or both. And that's here, it's coming to teach you that Tzon and Bakar are independent, that they don't come as a single unit. V'Rabbi Yonatan Lamali. Why does Rabbi Yonatan need a specific pasuk to separate between Tzon and Bakar? We've met Rabbi Yonatan before. Rabbi Yonatan's of the position that when the Torah tells you something, for instance, Ichki Kalelet Aviv V'Imo, person, when they curse their parents, so there it says Aviv V'Imo. So now it sounds like on the pasuk Aviv V'Imo, that until he curses both of them. Rabbi Yonatan's of the opinion until the pasuk says Yach and puts them together, then we say Aviv V'Imo means separately, each one independently. So that's what he says. Lama likra ha'amar. He is of the opinion. Unless the pasuk specifies that they're a single unit, we assume they're two units. So why don't we say the same thing over here? When it says Adam ki yakriv mikhem korban Hashem min ha'behema min ha'korban min ha'tzon, bakar alone in ha'tzon. It doesn't say yachdav over there. It's itzrich sachat at chamina. What I would have thought. Ho b'chtiv u'min ha'tzon. Since it says u'min ha'tzon, it keman d'chtiv yachdav dami. Because it says the vav here. Which says uminatzon, that would be a mechaber them and bring them together, but the equivalent of being mechaber them. So even though it doesn't specify yachdav, since it says uminatzon, that's enough. Come on, yachdav yachdav dami. So now it can't just be the vav achibur, because even in the case of aviv v'imo, there's also a vav there. So Rashi points out over here, and the Tosfos also mentions it, that over there it's necessary. You can't write umikalel aviv imo. That would sound like the father is cursing the mother. It has to be mekalel that person mekalel aviv v'imo. Emo. Otherwise, the pasuk makes no sense. So over there, the vav is necessary part of the grammar.
Oh.
Right, could have said O, but the Vav can act in two ways. There's a Vav Chibur and Vav Chiluk. Vav functions that way. Vav functions as an O. So that's how it's functioning over there. That's the grammar that you need over there. The letter Vav doesn't want to work. Over here, you could have written Min HaBeima, Min HaBakar, Min HaTzon. Either it's the extra Min that is written over here, because it says Min HaBeima, Min HaBakar, Min HaTzon. You could have just written Min HaBeima, HaBakar, HaTzon. That's one way to do it. Leave out the word Min. Or you could have written it Min HaBakar, Min HaTzon. You don't have to say U. The Vav here is not necessary as part of the puzzle. So therefore, over here, that extra Vav is going to come to even mechaber them. So Rabbi Yonatan has the pasuk of the Nesachim, which says min habakar o min hatzon, to teach you that they're separate. So that's how Rabbi Yonatan learns it. Ulu Rabbi Yoshia, demar af agav dolo tichtiv yachtav, kuman tichtiv yachtav dami. Well, Rabbi Yoshia is normally of the opinion that whenever you say the vav, it comes together. The bayakra, he should also require a pasuk because it says over here min habakar o min hatzon. So he should automatically think that like Rabbi Yonatan, he should have the same habamina. The Min HaBakar Min HaTzon comes to teach you Behema and Natov. So over here, they're asking him, I'm from the Karban Olah. But the Karban Olah, where you have the Vav HaChibur, let's say that he's always the one who says you need a separation between them, otherwise it's automatically assumed to be one unit. So why don't we assume that the Bakar and Son are one unit over here by the Olah? It says, because right after that in the Parsha, it says, Im Olah Karbano Min HaBakar, Vim Min HaTzon Karbano. It has two separate Parsha, one for Bakar, one for Tzon. Vidach, so why did Rabbi Yonatan use that? Israel Sahadat Ramina Hani Mili Bim Farish. Yeah, in Ochanami. If you specify I'm going to bring its own, in Ochanami you can just bring its own. Specify you're going to bring a Bakar, in Ochanami you can bring a Bakar. But when you just say, Hare Ola Stam, right, then if a Stam would like to mean I, Jitarvayu, that you bring both of them, Kamash Malan, that is not the case. Okay, we'll stop over here.